Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to be with you this wonderful morning, thanking God for another day. Hallelujah. And I just God is so good. Waking up early this morning, and I'm thankful. Just have gotten so much good word. God started off this morning with prayer. Then went to Morning Glory Nation. So I'm throwing it out there. If you're not on Facebook, you need to get on there, if nothing else, just to be a part of Morning Glory Nation. Thank you, Pastor Fred. This morning, he preached that has gotten me through so much in my life. Got me through depression, got me through heartache, as they say. I've been through a bunch. But this scripture got me and my family, my husband, it got us through some things in our lives that we had to go through. And I can only say thank you, Lord, for taking me to and bringing me through to this word in the Word of God. And my scripture, my own power scripture, is Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And I can say that God has been with me through my good, through my bad, through my ugly times of life. I didn't know this scripture when I was a child, but I tell you this, God was with me then, and he made me a strong little girl, and he made me a strong young woman, and he has made me a strong older senior. Come on now. God is good, and I'm thankful because I know that I got a lot more work to do, but God, I know he's going to get me through it. Hallelujah, because I trust in him. Are you trusting God this morning? Are you believing in the word of God today? Are you knowing that God is going to take you anywhere that you can't handle? He's not going to bring you to anything you can't get through because he is with you. All I can say is I'm filled up this morning, family. I'm filled up, and I'm just so excited about a word today, a Genesis word. We're dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham, bold Abraham, go challenge God for a minute and say, what if? He had a what if moment. What if there is? You know, we have those what if there is moments. And Abraham had one of those. What if there is this many? That many, a little bit more, you know. And, you know, it's like, you know, not trying to be offensive. You know, we're going to put it in the vernacular today. Not trying to be offensive, Lord. But what if, so, to slay the righteous with the wicked? You know, Abraham questions God. Are you going to just take out good people with the bad people? You going to throw out the baby with the wash water kind of thing? But God always has a word for you. When you are strong and when you are courageous and when you ask, God will tell you the truth. And he told him, he got down to, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Whew, come on now. And then he said, and I'm going to go all the way down to, I will not destroy it for 10. And let's call it straight. There was not 10. Because today there is no Sodom and there is no Gomorrah unless you look at the decadent world and craziness of the world. You know, America's craziness is going over to Brazil now, where you have a loser not wanting to leave office and getting his followers to just show out and attack the presidential house, attack the Capitol, just go off crazy. Been there, done that. And now it's going over to another country. our crazy and foolishness. We need to pray. Pray for our world. We got war in Ukraine and Russia. You got all this foolishness going on in Iran. We have crazy going on in our world. But everything that's going on, God's already told us it was going to happen. The Lord never takes you to anything that he has already warned you about. We got to pray. We got to lift up our world, lift up our nation, lift up each other. Father God in heaven, I come to you this morning, lifting up this planet, God. This planet, this beautiful, wonderful planet that you gave us to be good shepherds of, God. And no, God, we have not been the best. We have not been good. We have not always been good, God. But I'm asking you for a revival, Lord, a revival of hearts and minds and spirits of people, God, of your people, God, who are called by your name to have us, to humble ourselves, God. We got to pray. We got to pray this wickedness off of this world, God. Pray this wickedness out of our schools, God, where children 6 years old are bringing guns to school and shooting their teachers because they disagree. A baby, God, with a gun. Father God, we're just asking you, change the mindset of this planet when people can go on vacation and murder their friends and nobody held accountable for it. Lord, we pray and lift up the Robinson family this month as they get ready to celebrate Shaquilla's birthday. And she will not be here because friends who she thought were friends thought it was cute to film her being brutalized and murdered. Father God, I pray for our young people. Give them a heart, Lord God. Give them a conscience, Lord God. Give them an absolute spirit of understanding that you, Lord God, are in charge of everything. That you, Lord, see everything. You see everything. And I pray for this young woman's soul that she knew you as her Lord and Savior. And that she didn't die in vain, God. I pray for this teacher as she fights for her life today, God. And I pray for this world, God, that you, God, will show the spirit of insight. You will show the evil that men do. But Lord, I lift up knowing that as we are strong and courageous, God, you said you would not leave us or forsake us. So Father God, we are standing as men and women of God on your word that you have not left us and that you will be with us, God, through good, through bad, through ugly, Lord God, that when we seek you, God, we will find you, God. And when we knock, you will open your heart for each and every one of us. Lord God, the more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you, the more I love you, God. Hallelujah, God. I just want you to, as Pastor William of God says, wrap me in your arms, Lord God. Wrap me in your arms, God. Take us to that place, God, to that secret place where we can be with you, God. So you can make us like you. Wrap us in your arms, Father. As I lift up this word this morning that you have placed on this ninth day of January, as I started off this word today with Joshua 1:9, I thank you, God, for my scripture in the scripture of the day that I needed to remind me to trust in you. And so, Father God, as we get ready to move forward this morning, I ask you, as I do every day, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. But you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. And it's in the name of the matchless, holy Savior, my Savior, Christ Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I thank God for this word this morning, because it is a powerful word. We are coming out of Genesis chapter 17, 18. And our psalm for this morning is the fifth psalm, verses 8 through 12. Our proverb is chapter 2, verses 10 through 22. And our scripture for this morning is Matthew chapter 7. And our title scripture is Matthew 7, 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Matthew 7, 7 is our scripture for this morning. Our title is coming out of that scripture. But there is so much to unwrap in Matthew chapter 7. Wow, is all I can say. It's a wow word. And when we get to it, we'll go even wilder. So thank you all for joining us, and let's get started. And we are in Genesis 17. Abraham has not become Abraham yet. He is still Abram. And we've got a lot of words, so let's go. When Abram was 99, y'all catch that, 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and you will multiply and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generation. He who is born in your house or brought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is brought with your money must be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh and an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people, and he has broken my covenant. And I know we went back to there's a point in time male children were circumcised. And then you got to this point where there were folks that said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want my child circumcised. But, you know, we need to look at the word of God as men and women of God. Don't fall for the foolishness. You know, there's nothing wrong with getting your child circumcised, but make sure it's by someone who knows what they're doing. Every doctor is not equipped to do circumcision. make sure your doctor has done it many times. You know, unfortunately, if you're not of a Jewish faith, you don't have that person to come in and do it in the scriptural way. But we pray to God for our children and for our male sons that they will be circumcised for their salvation and for their safety, health-wise. You know, and then it goes on to say, then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her the name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name, and I will bless her, and I shall give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, king of peoples. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking to him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were brought with his money, every male among the men of Abraham's house, circumcised the flesh of their foreskins that very same day as God had said to him. Abram was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, and Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. That very same day, Abram was circumcised, and his son Ishmael, and all the men of his house, born in the house, are brought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Then the Lord appeared, chapter 18 of Genesis. And we will do Genesis life lessons all at once after we finish chapter 18. Chapter 18, then the Lord appeared to him by the cherubim trees of Mirah as he was sitting in the tent, heat of the day. So he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the ground and said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, do not pass on by your servant. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree, and I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts. After that, you may pass by inasmuch as you have come to your servant. They said, do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly make ready three measures of fine meal, knot it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd, took a tender and good calf, gave it to the young man, and he hastened to prepare it. So he took butter and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree as they ate. Then they said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? So he said, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Can y'all say that with me? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no. Hallelujah. At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, but she was afraid. And he said, no, but you did laugh. Then the men rose from there and looked down, looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very great, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. Then the man turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abram still stood before the Lord, and Abram came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Come on now. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this is this to slay the righteous with the wicked. So the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now you're crushing it, God. So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Then Abram answered and said, indeed now I, who am but dust and ashes, have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous, would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? He said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Now I'm sure God, the Lord is probably getting a little frustrated. You know, we know the Lord is Savior Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. Come on now. And then he says, and then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. So he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed, now I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. 20 should be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak for once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. And I'm sure, and I'm just going to be honest, this is what I feel, not what's in the word. I feel Abraham was asking this question because of Lot and Lot's family, because he knew that Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he didn't want his nephew murdered. He didn't want his nephew to die. And so that's why he said, and he knew that Lot and his family were righteous, and he was trying his best to save his nephew, not understanding that nothing is too hard for God. God already knew what he was really wanting to ask and didn't, was would you save Lot? And they do. They save Lot. They save Lot and his family. Until his nosy wife just had to look back. Sometimes nosy roses wind up as pillars of salt. You got to not look back. You got to move forward. Keep going backwards. You got to go forward. You know, we got to get out of the muck and the mire of our life and move forward. God is wanting us to move forward. God is wanting us to get out of our mountain of worry and our mountain of stress. We got to start moving forward. And in Genesis 17:5 is a life lesson for this morning, is your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations, even before God fulfilled his promise to Abraham to give him a son through Sarah. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. God's promises are so solid that he can speak of their future fulfillment in the past tense. Come on now. And then when we get to Genesis 8:9-15, Sarah laughing all the way to the crib. And it says, Sarah smirked as the words of her husband rang in her ears. How could you believe that the outlandish story? God spoke to me, he has said. He promised to make me the head of many nations, me, a man of 99 years, and he is going to go do it through you. Cheryl reacted to the news such as her dear husband had earlier. She hit the ground laughing. I'm 90 years old. I am no longer capable of giving you children. There must be some mistake. But there had been no mistake. God challenged Cheryl with the words, is anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18 and 14. That's a highlightable. That is a highlightable. You need to highlight that word in your word. It's a highlightable. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Genesis 18 and 14. 9 months later, the birth of a baby boy provided the answer. Jerry's story represents something much greater than one woman's experience. It demonstrates God's unrelenting pursuit of each of us. Despite her faults and persistent lack of faith, Sarah witnessed God turn the impossible into reality. So can we. Hallelujah. And then as we go is back into verse 18 and 14. Things that we humans find impossible to do, God finds very easy. That is why we can trust all of his promises. We do not have to understand how he will fulfill them. We have only to believe that he will. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Hallelujah. Ask yourself. It's a personal question, and I can answer, no, there's not. Genesis 18 and 25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We can rest assured that God, the judge of all the earth, will always do exactly what is right. We never have to fear that he will make a mistake or suffer a lapse in judgment. Hallelujah. And as we get into our psalm this morning, Psalm chapter 5, verse 8 through 12, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsel. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions. But they have rebelled against you. But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defined them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you. For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him as with a shield. Can y'all say amen? Woo, hallelujah. The Lord is with us. Make your way straight before my face. God is so good. Lead me, O Lord. I love the song that they lead me, guide me along the way. Lord, if you lead me, I will not stray. Lord, let me walk each day with thee. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Hallelujah. We got to have a lead me in our spirit for the Lord. Lead me, O Lord, lead me. Hallelujah. And as we get into our proverb this morning, when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Come on now. Understanding will keep you from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who lead the path of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, saying of her youth, and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her path to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the path of life. so you may walk in the way of goodness and keep to the path of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. We better hear the word of God this morning. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Matthew 7, and it says this, just not. And this is a word for all of us. This word touches every, Matthew chapter 7. If you want to look at a life lesson and a way to go about doing things in life, Matthew chapter 7 is that word. God will put some things in your spirit to get your attention. Matthew chapter 7 is one of those words to get your attention. God wants us to know this is how you need to be. Because as you looking at somebody else's eyes, you better be checking yourself for that big old plank that's keeping you from moving forward. Because it's so long, it's hitting the ground. Every time you walk, your eye hurts because you got a plank in it trying to be looking at somebody else's stuff. We better stop ourselves judging everything and everybody. Because understand, when you judge, you will be judged. We got to pray for them. Don't be putting judgment on somebody. Put prayer on them instead. Pray and pray some more. Sometimes you just got to pray the hell out of some people. Come on now. I'm just calling it right. And as we go back to this word, it says, judge not that you be not judged. But with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. In other words, get yourself right. Get your mess cleaned up before you go trying to tell somebody else how to clean up their mess, how to do what they need to do when you haven't done what you need to do. Who are you to judge? Who are you to look at somebody else's stuff and say, well, you know, if it was me, there we go. If it was me, I would just and such and such. It's not you. You got to work on yourself before you try to tell somebody else how to work on themselves. We got to all walk in righteousness. And we got to all shake off that judging spirit, because bottom line is, when we all stand before God, each and every one of us from millennia stands before God. And when he opens that book and sets it on the table and looks at each and every one of us, the trillions of us by name, and calls us each one by name, and opens the book, looks at your life story, and tells you either, well done, my good and faithful servant, or I don't know you. And as you walk it through that narrow gate, there's somebody, millions and millions, going through the wide gate to suffer eternal damnation. Which gate do you want to go in? You're about to read that too. And this word, like I said, so much you can unpack in Matthew chapter 7 that it's about a three-day sermon. It's that big. That you can preach so much, you can teach so much from Matthew chapter 7 that we got to stop, take a minute, shake off some stuff, and look at the word of God. And this I give to my sisters out there. Good women who just want to go with dogs, chasing after the dog of a man, the cheating, low-down, dirty dog. And the word of God is for you. And this is men who are being run down by women chasing after you. You got to be very careful who you allow in your life. God will show you the wolf behind the sheep's clothing. Just because somebody coming to church, ask yourself, did they come before or are they coming now because they after something? You better ask God. God will give you discernment to know, this is not for you, baby. This is not the one I'm sending to you. You will know him. You will know him. And he will know you. And it says this, do not give what is holy. Young women giving their virginity to young men that are not and will never be their husband. You created a soul tie with a dog. You got a baby, she got a baby, they got a baby. Sister down the street got a baby, cousin across the street got a baby. All these babies by him. I had never heard the term until I used to tutor in the school system. And a little girl was telling me about her family. My little girl was tutoring. And she said, well, now that is my brother and my sister on my daddy's side that go to school. Oh, no. I got two brothers and a sister that go to school here on my daddy's side. And so now there's three kids, not including her. Then on my mama's side, I got three brothers and a sister that goes here. I'm like, and I'm sitting there talking about mama's side, daddy's side. Because she said she had seven brothers and sisters that went to her school. And then she broke it down. She had two other sisters that went to her school. And she had five brothers that went to her school. And then on her mama's side, she just had another brother. But he wasn't her daddy. He wasn't her daddy's child. He was somebody else's child. So he was just on her mama's side and not on her daddy's side. And but she had one brother of her brothers that's on her mama's side that is also on her daddy's side. And I'm sitting there in total confusion. Mama, daddy's side, I had never heard that term in my life. A person is just your brother or your sister. I didn't understand that mama's side, daddy's side kind of stuff. So I'm going to tell you, we have got our children so twisted and confused. Why? Because you gave what is holy to the dogs. Now cast your pearls before flies, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. You wonder why you getting beat up Monday through Sunday. Because you allowed yourself to be cast your pearls, your beautiful self, to be put with dogs. To be trampled on the foot by pigs. You got to be careful who you allow in your life. You know, Yolanda Adams, who I just absolutely love, gave her testimony and talked about how she had been hoodwinked by dogs and her pearl before swine. Who beat her. He was coming to church. She thought he was a man of God, fake speaking in tongues. She just thought he was a prayer warrior. Married this man. And when she getting ready to go to church, he told her she couldn't go. And she said, what you mean I can't go to church? We go to church. He said, we ain't going to church. And when she tried to go to church, he beat her up and abused her. But she was so ashamed, didn't want to tell nobody that she was being abused by this man who she thought was a man of God. And found out he was a dog. He was a swine. That she had thrown her beautiful pearls to. Luckily, and praise the Lord, she got out of that marriage. And God gave her an awesome man of God. But understand, we got to be so careful, young ladies. We got to be careful, young men. Because you don't want to get yourself caught up and caught in a net of a deceptive woman. As we go through our Proverbs, you'll hear them talk about young men, be careful. Don't go down there. Don't go down that street. Don't go in that house. We got to be so careful, young men and women. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. God is talking about abuse. Understand this word. And then as we go forward, it says, ask and it will be given. You seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. God has told us, all you got to do is come to me. Come to me, and I will open doors. I will do what you need to be done. But you've got to come to me. Seek me, and you will find me. Knock, and I will open that door for you. We got to ask God to open some doors for us, for our children, for our family. What man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give a good thing to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. But this is the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I want kindness, some be kind. I want love, some be loving. I want peace, some be peaceful. And I have learned to keep my tongue behind my teeth. We got to learn to do that. We can't say everything that comes to our mind. Because you don't want to speak some things into the atmosphere. Because believe me, the devil is right there waiting with his ears glued, with inquiring minds wanting to know what's coming out of your mouth so I can mess it up. We got to understand directly to God. We can talk to God without it ever coming out of our mouth. Isn't that awesome? That you can have a whole conversation with God and nobody know it but you and God. What a mighty God we serve. And then it tells us about that gate I talk about all the time. It says, enter by the narrow gate, but wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who will find it. There are few who find it. I want to be one of the ones that find it. I want to find life, life, life with God, life eternal, for God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, for your goodness and for your kindness. And it says, beware, here's that word, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep clothing. Come on now, just what Yolanda Adams talked about, that false man, pretending to be a man of God. You got the pastors out there pretending to be men of God. And just as crooked and wolfish as you can imagine. Can you imagine being a first lady and finding out your wolf of a husband has gotten someone else in your congregation, a young woman in your congregation, pregnant? Come on now. You know, come on. We got to understand there are wolves. And what God's called them, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? There's some great men out there. We think our prophets and teachers and that they are casting out demons, they are healing the sick, they are doing all these things, but just as wicked inside as they can be, because they are not about what they're doing for God. It's how much what they're doing for God will give them in monetary gain. You got to be careful. It can't be about money. You cannot serve two masters. We just read that on yesterday. You will hate one and love the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And as we go forth, it says this. It says, I'm going to go back to verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And God's going to say, yes, we did. Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. Yes, you did. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. You practice lawlessness. You know, you can do all kind of things in the name of the Lord. Many souls are being saved by false prophets. But that doesn't make them any less a false prophet. That doesn't make them any less. Always talking prosperity, but never about salvation. Well, if you do this, then you'll get this. If you do that, then you'll get that. If you give me $10,000 to buy this plane, or if you don't have $10,000, then I'll take $1,000. And if you don't have $1,000, the least I'll take is $100. If you don't have $100, then you're going to hell. You know, you got all this kind of craziness going on because you obviously don't want to be prosperous. You obviously don't want to have. You want to be a have not. And you can be a have if you got at least $100 to give towards my plane. Come on now. Just tell the truth and shaming that wicked devil. We got to tell folks the truth. Jim Jones took how many people to Ghana and died? They are dead because they drunk the Kool-Aid. And many had no choice with a gun to your head and watching your children die because you foolishly followed the devil. We got to be careful where we go to church. And when somebody says some stuff, you need to listen. Take notes so you can go back and read it later. Nowadays, you got iPhones, film the message so you can go back and listen to it as you take notes. We got to understand there's some awfulness out there, and many of it is in the pulpit. And as we finish this up, it says, therefore, whoever hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Come on now. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. But if we found it on the rock, for if it was founded on the rock, but everyone who hears these things of mine and does not do them will be like foolish men who built, like a foolish man who built this house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these things that the people were astonished at his teaching. But he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Woo! He had authority. Why? Because he was the Lord. When we go back into life lessons for this word, it says in Matthew 7:2, with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Living by this simple guideline would eliminate the vast majority of the squabbles and conflicts we endure. Would we want to be judged by the standards we judge others? Do we demand grace but never give mercy? Come on now. Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. We must get it out of our heads that God is stingy or miserly or tight. Fix it. With his grace and goodness, he delights in showering us with good things, but we have to present him with our request. You have not because you ask not. If you don't ask for what you need, then God's not going to give it to you. Sometimes you got to, not even sometimes, every day, those that can get on their knees, get on your knees, but it don't take being on your knees to pray. You can walk through a mall and pray. You can walk through your house and pray. You can lie in your bed and pray. You can get up on the roof and pray. You can go down in the basement and pray. You can go into the attic and pray. Wherever you are, you can be in your car and pray. You can pray on the bus. You can pray on the train. You can pray in the plane. You can pray wherever you are. Prayer changes things. And as we go into our last life lesson this morning, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Willing and eager obedience is the hallmark of someone who has truly come to faith in Jesus Christ. They obey not because they want to earn God's favor, but because they feel delighted already to have received it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for hearing, for hearing this word. And I ask all of you, as hearers, let us be doers of this word. And our prayer for this morning is this: deliver me, woo, Jesus, from Matthew 6:13, which we read on yesterday. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, constant one. And I'd like to add, Almighty God, as long as I live, I will find myself faced with temptation. Turn away from you. I am grateful that you are not aloof, unconcerned, and hands-off with your people. You constantly draw me back to you with loving kindness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. As I face this day, help me to resist the temptations that are bound to come my way and keep my heart set on you. Deliver me, oh God, from things that seem beneficial but are actually parasitic, slowly sucking the life right out of me. Let your loyal love keep me rooted in the wisdom that walking with you brings. May I taste your goodness, and may that goodness sustain my heart. Strengthen me to choose you time and time again. When I face temptation and resist, I find that the fruit of self-control and peace are worth it every time. You always know better, and I will learn, lean into your wisdom. And a question for this morning: do you trust that God gives the strength you need to resist temptation? Again, we got to seek and find God, and we got to learn how to knock on the door, hallelujah, of our hearts, of our minds, of our spirits. And the word says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Hallelujah. The lines are open for anyone who would like to speak. Just push the number 1 on your phone, and your line will be open. As lines are being opened, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. The word for yesterday was a proverb, and it was our favorite proverb on this show, 3 and 5, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And our word for this morning: no matter how stormy life is, never let it bring you down. Always smile and be thankful God woke you up today. Have a moving on Monday. As we move forward today, let God guide you. Let God lead you. Let all things work for your good, because you have been in the Lord and you are seeking him with all your heart. And you will find him, because he will open the door for you. Hallelujah. Call us 7412. Your line is open.
Amen. Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning, Mother.
Good morning,
Mother Minister. How are you this morning? And what has God given you for a word today?
God has given me a beautiful word. We can always speak about our God. I like what you were saying this morning. Be strong. God is with you. Trust in God. Trust in God and be strong. Be strong. I'm going to read Psalms 31. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life. But as for me, I'll trust you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face shine upon your servant. Save me for your mercy's sake. Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you, in the presence of the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plot of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. I said in my haste, I'm cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplication, where I cried out to you. Oh, God, you are a good God. Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserved the faithful and fully repaid the proud person. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All you who hope in the Lord. My God, God is a good God. He's good all the time. And I like what the pastor was saying this morning. There was not even 10 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Not even 10. God couldn't find 10. He said he would save the city. He would save it if there was 40, if there was 30, if there was 20. And he also said he would save the city if there were 10. But he couldn't find 10 people. Not even 10. And I like what the pastor was saying. Be careful who you allow in your life. For, you know, women, or you seeking a husband, don't just you seek the husband. Let the husband find you. Be careful who you allow in your life. It says, seek you will find. Knock on the door and it will be opened. Well, I said, seek God early. Young people, seek God early. Don't wait until you're almost 80 to seek the Lord. If God is calling you, answer. Because God is a good God. He's a righteous God. And God only wants to do good for his children. God reigns on the just and the unjust. He does. He reigns on all people. And this is the day to find him. Seek you now the Lord while he can be found. God is good.
Amen. Amen. As we get ready to wrap up, as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray for you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. As our mother prays us out, it's a wrap, family.
Amen. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank and praise you for waking us up this morning. We thank and praise you for forgiveness of all sin, knowingly and unknowingly. We ask, as Pastor has asked, bless the world, God. Help our world, because our world is in trouble. We know that we are closer and closer to the end of days. But bless the leaders of this world that are making decisions for this country. And we will give you praise and honor and glory for it. Bless Pastor Jesse and her family, Pastor Bridget and her family, my family, and the church family. Keep us all safe as we travel up and down the highway. Keep us looking toward you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. It's a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Love you all. Be
it's
blessed
a wrap.
And have a great day. Quick church announcement. Wednesday show will be early because I have to be at work early. So we will, instead of being a 7 o'clock show, it will be a 6 in the morning to 7 show. So if you are able to come on, please do. If you are not, you'll be able to go to blogtalkradio.com, and you can listen in at any time. You can also go to any podcast, and you'll be able to listen as well as on Facebook. So thank you so much, family. Be blessed, and have a great and wonderful day. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.